Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, 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 and welcome to the Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris, and we are here to talk about the finale and the reunion of season 14. Yes, we did it. We are here. Willow Pill has officially been crowned our sole winner of season 14. I know there is some speculation about some dual triple winners, but no, we have one queen reigning supreme and a lot to talk about with individual performances, the final lip sync, and of course, touching on all the drama from the reunion. So let me welcome in our fabulous panelists. It's just family. They've been here all season. You know them. You love them. First, we have Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you?
We did it. We survived a marathon. I mean, I know that Amon literally ran a race today, but I feel like we have all run a marathon over the past, 4 months of the show. But I'm so excited. I thought the finale was fun. I'm excited to chat about it with y'all and just celebrate the season itself.
Truly a celebration. And you heard his name. It is Amon Adwin, our race running champion. Ooh. Amon, how are you?
I'm great. I'm exhausted, but I'm great. I feel like probably how the queens felt after that long ass season. Like, damn, this season was a marathon within itself. I'm pretty much at peace with how things concluded. I think that this season had a lot of things going for it. Yes, it was a tad too long, but you know, the queens that we got to meet and everything was great. And we'll talk about it more as we get along, but I feel like this reunion sort of was like a little bit of a return to form for me, which I really enjoyed. So I had a great time watching. I was glad to be out and about at the bar that I usually go to. It really felt like the Super Bowl. Like, I know that we joke about like how this is like the queer space of the Super Bowl, but it really is. Like, it felt like it was a championship game in there. It was a lot of high energy.
It's like if you combine the Super Bowl and like the election together, it's like, who's our new drag president? Great.
Right,
got it. You know?
Exactly. I felt the energy for this one. And I don't know if it was because the cast is so fantastic, because we have five queens going into the finale, because it was such a marathon. But I don't know. I felt much more excited for this finale than I did for the last season finale. And I'm not quite sure why. But for some reason, I definitely felt more hype surrounding this one, not just myself, but also I could sense that in the internet. Right. It just like felt like everybody was really excited. And I think because there were so many rootable people in the finale that it kind of, everyone had a stake in it, because you know, even if your queen didn't necessarily win, I think there were a lot of queens that could represent the season and represent something unique about what this season brought.
Mm-hmm. Definitely. I think also, last year there was a final four that I think for the most part was really strong too, but I don't know if like COVID just played a role and, you know, they had like that like parking lot kind of live finale, which looked like a drive-in movie kind of set up. And like, that was kind of cool, but it also, you know, we're still, for the most part, people were still indoors. And so I think that this was had this feeling of returning to normalcy that you could tell not only in the production of it, you know, you had those people who attended the recording who could, I'm sure we're spoiling online what happened, and those kind of things. But I think that there's just, like you said, and I think Aman said this too, that like, there was just kind of this return to something that we felt, the structure of before. So yeah, I thought it was fun and exciting. I'm excited mm-hmm. to kind of break it all down with y'all.
Well, we did have the live studio audience, which I think plays a huge role in that. That
totally.
When it was when all the queens are walking out at the very beginning to mm-hmm. hear everybody cheering and to hear sort of the, oh, well, Lady Camden got a lot of cheers. Okay, mm-hmm. this bodes well for her. It was just like, yeah, there was some hype about it. It was super cool and really fun. And I had a great time watching this. Okay, so I think the biggest thing that we need to talk about is the structure of the finale. So this is the first time that we haven't gotten a lip sync for your lip sync SmackDown extravaganza. I mean, we already had one in the season, but we didn't get the sort of normal form that we've gotten used to since season 9. Aman, how did you feel about the queens performing their individual songs and then the final two lip syncing for the crown?
I've always enjoyed the way that they did things before season 9. I thought that it was nice to get a chance to see all of the queens, you know, have their moment and have mm-hmm. a song written just for them, and to have, you know, to be a pop star essentially for one night only. I thought it was just such a really nice snapshot to end every season. That being said, the stakes, I can understand why they would have switched things and make the stakes a little higher, because in a lot, like in season 7, season 8, there really wasn't any more competing to do. It was just, this is the night for the final three to get their shine. And RuPaul already knows who's going to crown. And so he just crowns it at the end. Mm-hmm. But this time they sort of like melded the two where, you know, everyone does get their moment to shine, but it is still a bit of a competition. With that being said, I do think that where it fails a little bit is like, well, I mean, are they writing these songs? Because if they're not, if they are relying on whoever to create these songs for them and to create these looks for them and to create these stage performances for them, if there's like creative direction that isn't entirely theirs, then is it really them competing, or is it just sort of like whoever has the best sort of production is going to get the shine? So I think there's like a little bit of finagling that they could do to maybe iron out a bit of those details. But with that being said, I still really liked having the chance to see the culmination of all of them throughout the season, having them sort of talk about their journey, having them all over the, you know, streets of Vegas. Just I recently watched, I don't know if you guys are familiar with Eric Andre, but I recently mm-hmm. watched his movie on Netflix that came out last year. I think it's called Road Trip or Bad Trip. Mm-hmm. And it's essentially him creating like all of these pranks on unsuspecting people. And then like sort of like the whole backdrop is like him on a road trip down to New York City. But the reactions from the people in the film are real, and they just have to sign off on it to be in the final product. And I really liked that sort of feel that they had mm-hmm. with all of these queens just all around, just like engaging in shenanigans and people are just trying to enjoy their Las Vegas holiday. And they're like, what the fuck is going on here? So yeah, I really enjoyed watching all of that. That was great.
That mm-hmm. was fun. I think that, I agree with you, Aman. I feel like the last lip syncs are more of like a victory lap and less taken into consideration as to like who the final two are. With this structure, I really feel like it comes down to who does RuPaul like the most and want to see as the final two? And then who does the audience like based off of social media and all the other stuff, right? So I really think that for season 7 and season 8, there were top three. We have a top five, right? So you have that odd number. It makes sense. The lip sync SmackDown, as much as I didn't like it when it first was created, and I'll be honest, like I prefer this kind of format, to be perfectly frank, but I do see the strength that you are lip syncing for the crown at that point. Like, mm-hmm. there's been dramatic moments, both good and bad. I mean, we would never have gotten the Asia O'Hara butterfly gate if it hadn't been for that structure. With Sasha Velour's, you know, rose petal reveal. Like, there's been
that
iconic.
Be the first one, too, that really sort of like probably gave the producer, like, oh, yeah, this was the way to go, honey.
Yeah. We did it. Yeah. Yeah. We struck gold. But that's exactly it, right? So, like, that kind of format has boded well for dramatic moments in the finale. And I think that if they kind of went back even further and just did the structure of like season 6, which is combining the, you know, this kind of element of giving the top three or whatever their moment, but it's also the reunion show. Like it's a live reunion show in front of an audience. Mm-hmm. I liked that a little bit more because then you spent time, a lot of time actually with each queen, regardless of wherever they were in the season. And it seems like RuPaul in the reunion is just doing popcorn, like you would do in like college classes. Like, I have a question for you. What do you have to say about that? Okay, great. And it's just like random, but I kind of liked the structure of here's the first three queens that were eliminated. Let me ask them each a question. Maybe they engage with each other. Here's the next three queens. And in between each of those, we're going to honor one of the top three or top four, or top five, and they come out and they perform. I think that would be more effective. But everybody come out and do that huge, you know, like runway walk in the very beginning. That's my favorite part too, Leona. I love that so much. That's all of the queens getting the roses they deserve right there. Mm-hmm. And that's what I love, love, loved about like season seven. Like you could feel the audience in season seven just like absolutely go apeshit for Katya. And it just, that created so much fun energy. And it's about a celebration while they're also are sometimes dramatic moments. So I would kind of move away from the season seven, season eight, take elements of that final lip sync if they're not writing their own music and choreography and all that kind of stuff, and intersperse that between a live reunion to make that finale.
That would be really interesting. I mean, they would have to, especially if they want to get two episodes out of that, like, I don't know how you cut that up. So it's a little bit of a tall order. I feel like there's strengths and weaknesses to all of these. I think the strength of the reunion show that we saw this time was that, yes, it is popcorn, but it also allows the producers to pick and choose what they feel like is more relevant. And if there are queens that they don't think are worth talking to, they don't have to, which I kind of feel bad about. But at the same time, if they think it's more interesting, then I trust them, I suppose. Like, maybe I want to go along with that and I want to see the thing that's going to bring the most drama. But I actually want to go back for a second to something Amon said, which is, who is writing the songs? Who is choreographing the routine? Who is singing the songs? Do either of you have the tea on this? Because I really need to know how much creative direction the queens got when it came to doing this.
They don't have much. From what I understand, they use the same vocalist who does like, who did like the Divas Live for All Stars 3 and all that kind of stuff. She sang, I think, everything. There might have been song for the final five she didn't sing because it sounded very different to me. From what I understand, what they did with season 7 and 8 was that the producers basically said, this is your storyline. Let's make a song about it. So you had Violet, who was like, oh, I like, you know, burlesque, and that's one of my strengths. And they're like, okay, well, we're going to like do like a burlesque kind of number or whatever then based off of this. And we also will make it like, you know, obviously because burlesque is sexual or whatever, we'll make it sexual, but we also want to throw in some kind of diva moments because you were a diva. Like you had Sleepwalker for Pearl. You think Pearl was going to write a song called Sleepwalker for herself? No, that was because they're like, wake up, Pearl, like was a part of it, right? You had Kimchi. Like, do you think that Kimchi probably would have written something that was Fat Femination?
I don't know. I feel like I hate people. I've never related to a song more in my life. And I could definitely see Willow writing that.
Yeah, I couldn't hear much in the bar that I was listening to Eddie. Yeah. But you know, they would show the title of the song, and I was like, "Yes, yes!" I don't know what you're singing about, but I agree with the song title.
I'm pretty sure that it's basically the songs are written for them using a theme that the editors know at that point, and like the strengths of the contestants. Mm-hmm. I'm sure that there's something that the contestants bring to it, and I'm sure that they're choreographed in a way that is going to be showing their strong suits. Once again, like, Kimchi was not given like a huge, you know, choreographed number because, as we can recall, she couldn't even walk down in heels.
Right.
That's why we have this da 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 da, you know, like back and forth thing. So I think everything is designed so that the queens will look amazing. But that said, it also doesn't make it quite a equal playing field, because if you have someone who can do so much more or ends up with a cooler song or something, like their costume, which I'm sure that they're in charge of, like design your costume or whatever. And I'm sure like designers work with them, but it's like pieces they bring. I don't know. I kind of felt like Diabetti's song was kind of underwhelming, but her costume made it cool. For example, like right. it just, mm-hmm. there's things about it that just like are really unequal.
I mean, it's okay. packaged, it's probably packaged the same way or packaged differently. Like it's the same product that we're getting with season 7 and 8, where RuPaul already knows who's going to win. But this time he's making it seem like it's still a competition as opposed to just admitting that someone's already going to win and giving everyone right. the moment to shine.
Yeah.
So I feel like I probably would have been a little less critical of it if they had just been like, everyone's going to get there. Like, because it would have gone along with the storyline of the season. Like, you can just never say goodbye to these damn queens. You never want to eliminate anybody. So you can just be like, everybody's going to get their child. Everybody's the winner. Maybe we get 5 queens, 5 lip syncs, and then one of them's going to win. Like,
we're all going to win $5. It's great.
Exactly. So, yeah, it was fun regardless. Some songs definitely were better than others. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I think I agree with that. I feel like it's just, you have like a certain shtick about you throughout the season. They decide, okay, let's work with that. Maybe there's like a little bit of like lyrical content that maybe some of the queens get to push through a little bit. Like maybe they sit down with another writer. I would probably think something like that maybe. Right. But other than that, they probably have very little, you know, actual control. Because if it were like that, then the show would probably be too long.
Right.
Because see, that's like, I was thinking about it. I was thinking about what if the season finale, let's say the goal is to have these queens do what they do best as performers, would be perform. So you mm-hmm. have 2 minutes. What do you want to do with 2 minutes? Here's a team of people who will work with you to help you put together a performance. Mm-hmm. You get 5 backup dancers. We can put whatever you want on the screen. We can play whatever music you want. Well, obviously, you know, copyright limit, whatever.
Yeah.
You can write a song. We'll help you write a song, right? Like, that's what I would love.
Sort of like the challenge that they just did with yeah. Catwalk.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. The thing is
that... combine it a bit with the talent show.
Yeah, yeah. Combine it. Yeah, fine. That's fine. I'm fine mm-hmm. with that. Like, I would love to see Willow with, like, a budget and a team. What weird spoken word shit would she put together? That would be awesome. God, be like, mm-hmm. I would be so down for that, to have it be a little bit more, you have 2 minutes, what do you want to do in 2 minutes? And it can mm-hmm. be anything. It can be that, like the talent show, but you have like a team. They know the people that are going to be in the finale. So you can start working on it. It's not like, oh, we have a week turnaround time. Like, so we're really crunched on this. You have time to do it. I think that would be so fun and so cool. That would be like my ideal.
Yeah.
Although I think there is still so much excitement in a versus scenario, because when it's, mm-hmm. oh my God, it's this person or this person, only one of them is going to make it. That's like very exciting. You know, obviously it's competition, direct competition, which is really fun.
Yeah.
And so I think there's a certain appeal to that as well. Although if you combine the mid-season lip sync extravaganza SmackDown with the finale one, that's too much. So you yeah. really have to kind of pick and choose if you are going to go with that format for the finale.
I kind of feel like I like what you're saying. And I think that one of the things that they could do is in the penultimate episode, after whoever is in the top is revealed to be in the top, RuPaul can be like, but the challenge isn't over. Mm-hmm. This is what you will prepare for finale night, yeah. and list it off there.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure that there'll be a portion where like RuPaul's like, they were charged with doing this or whatever. But it connects the finale and, you know, the penultimate episode together, also recognizing that they're filmed at 2 very different times, right? So mm-hmm. months right. and months apart. And that gives the queen, like, that lets us know, what have the queens been working on for 6 months at this time? You have 6 months to put something together that's going to be filmed live.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that would make it, like, just spell it out for us in that penultimate episode. And I think that that would make it a little bit more charged.
I'm good with that. You know what? Oh yeah, go ahead, Beth.
No, I was just going to say, then enter in like the American Idol, dial 3 to, you know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. If you want to vote for so-and-so's performance.
You know what I'm realizing? It actually is the season 12. Essentially, very similar to that, right? Where the queens had to perform in their respective homes because of COVID. And they were essentially told, okay, well, like, what do you want to do? And we got three super, super different performances. We got Crystal's weird bird thing. We got the Take on Me from Gigi Good, which was the black and white, very stylistic. And then like Jada just boots the house down dancing in her living room. Just very different things, but all very entertaining and very much representing the queen themselves. So I guess maybe that's what I'm in favor of.
I'm fine with that too.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Okay, let's talk about each of the individual performances that we got here. So Angeria goes first, and she has her song Check My Track Record, which, like, if this had been the first half of the season, makes sense, right? She had a win, safe, win, and then safe, 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 bottom. Safe, safe.
I was
safe,
like, you were bottom. Literally in the bottom last week.
Yeah! A choice. This makes the argument of someone else wrote it for her
100%
very much stronger.
That was a choice by whoever decided to write that song for her. It's like, this is also just a little bit of insight for all of y'all who are maybe listening and on your way to college or, you know, grad school or whatever. No school wants to see that you have a decline in performance towards the end of your grade. We want to see a rise in your performance at the very least. Not a great style to go with, I would say.
Yeah.
Amon, what did you think?
I thought that it was definitely an interesting decision. But I also do understand that they're sort of trying to continue the theme of the check, because that was like her first, her talent show performance where she, had all of that in there. So there's a nice little through line there. I thought that the look was, you know, classic Angeria. She really is a fan of like the swimsuit corset type deal thing. Mm-hmm. The hair looked great. She looked great. I thought that she, her package throughout, the finale was, quintessential Angeria, just super, super charismatic. And I really thought that she was going to get Congeniality, but we'll talk about that later, I guess.
Mm-hmm. 'Cause I believe she was eligible, right? For Miss Congeniality. 'Cause they had all the queens except for the top two, I think, come out on stage. Mm-hmm. For Miss Congeniality. We'll talk about that. Beth, what do you think?
I thought it was okay. We've seen Angeria. I've probably been a little less open to Angeria's lip syncing than other people have. I found her to be a solid performer, but not someone who where I'm like, oh my gosh, breathtaking. Mm-hmm. And I've seen a lot of people who were like, oh, she just owns the stage. And I haven't seen that yet. Mm-hmm. I saw a little bit more of that in this performance, but I think that she just suffered from the fact that I couldn't remember it. She suffered from the fact she went first. And then I saw other ones that I thought were more dynamic and stood out in different ways. Yeah. Hers just seemed like generic queen talks about being good in a competition. Yes. Like, that's a theme that we get all the time on Drag Race. Whereas, you know, you had you know, Daya and Camden and Willow kind of playing up their tropes. I wish that we had gotten something that was more about her being a pageant girl and having, like, you know, maybe there's different outfit changes for the different categories that she has to do or something like that, that would have seen like how well-rounded of a queen she is and what she was able to show us in the competition. I just kind of was, I was underwhelmed by the outfit. And just altogether, I felt like she unfortunately had the weakest performance of the night, even though I really wanted to root for her.
Yeah. I would agree with that. The list of the people that I would have felt the best about winning was Willow, Camden, and then Angeria, even though I did, like, you get that sense of decline throughout the season, which is, like, harsh to say. But she is super well-rounded, very charismatic. I felt like even seeing her finale package, I was like, oh, yeah, you're, like, great. You're fun. You're charismatic. But this performance was just fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I felt bad because I was like, oh, no, it's just fine. I can't advocate for that. It was like every performance after there was something else that was memorable about them.
Yeah.
And this one, absolutely, Amon, I agree with you, faded into the background. Although, which, super high energy, super fun. Obviously, she has a great job. It's just tough when there are these other performances that come after. So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah. For me, I think that she was one of the queens that I thought was not going to make the top two.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I will say, though, I loved that we got to meet her parents, and had such a beautiful moment throughout the season of her being able to talk about, my dad's like one of my biggest fans. And that, I love that we got to meet with some of the loved ones who were guests of in, and especially I think that her parents to me were a highlight of the finale in terms of introducing the guests. They had energy. They were, you could absolutely tell where Angeria got her humor and, you know, good spirit from. And it was really such a touching moment. But that said, if your parents are like the highlight for your portion, that doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. I, it's always so great to see supportive parents, because so often we see the non-support, I mean, in this season, and not that, like, we need to highlight those stories as well, but it does just warm my heart to see, like, queens like Gigi Good, Aquaria, Angeria here, who have had really supportive families, and you see how successful these young people can be. It's really cool.
Right.
It matters. It matters.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Let's talk about Bosco next. So Bosco has her performance with Devil and has a very exciting reveal that I expected a reveal, but definitely not something that looked like this.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of people have been talking about, like, you know, Bosco and, like, what this whole devilish character that she's been trying to exude in the latter half of the season. I guess because Bosco wasn't a well-pronounced figure towards the beginning and in the middle, that any of this, like, character that she's been trying to give, I mean, at least I didn't feel like I got much of it. And I feel like this time around, now that it was finally her time to just be Bosco, we finally got to see a bit of it. I'm a big fan of, like, this sort of, like, burlesque, like, Vegas showgirl, you know, feather boas and all of that stuff. I really enjoy all of that. And I thought that the reveal was great. Probably a little bit of TV magic going on there as well to help at least us see it the way that it was intended to be seen. I wonder how it looked on stage with people there. I was dying for them to do the thing that they always do whenever they have, like, you know, the big, I guess in this case they had the wings. I was dying for them to do the thing where, like, they, like circle around her and, like, go down and dip in front and then come back around. Like, I wanted to do that, see that whole thing, but they never did it. But besides that, I thought the outfit was still very much Bosco, but it gave a little bit of edge. It was a little bit of punch there. And her package was fun because I feel like she really, I feel like she understood exactly, like, look, I know that I haven't been, you know, everyone's winner pick. I know that I haven't been, like, killing it every single week. But I'm happy to be here. I'm glad that I'm here. I want you guys to see me as someone who deserves to be here. And don't take me for granted. So I appreciated that because it really was, it was very self-aware. And it made me want to root for her. Whereas maybe beforehand, I really wasn't checking for her.
I also really appreciated the fact that I think that sometimes when you get on Drag Race, you're not able to show every part of your, you know, your drag persona. And we were able to see shades, to your point, Aman, of this kind of devilish mm-hmm. character. But in the first episode, I mean, she tells us that she's, you know, the demon queen of Seattle or whatever. Mm-hmm. And there's a part of me that I'm sitting back and I'm like, oh my gosh, could we see another Drag Race girl go to Dragula? I would love to see how Bosco would fare on a show like that, where she can get more into her aesthetic than maybe she was able to show in Drag Race. I loved the reveal, the outfit. I thought that the song was the worst part about her performance. I was like, not even really paying attention to it at many points. I was also fascinated from the moment she started lip syncing. I was like, she clearly had one of those blood packs in her mouth and then like spit everything out, because everything mm-hmm. was all red in her mm-hmm. mouth. I was like so drawn to that that I wasn't paying attention to much else until the reveal happened. And I was like, am I really lame or easily distracted? Like, what's going on here? So I had to go back and watch it again and be like, don't look at her mouth this time. Like, pay attention to everything else.
Focus on something else. Yeah. But, yeah. I had Bosco close to the bottom of my list, both her and Diabetti. And I felt like both of their performances were super fun and really cool. So yeah. they shot up in terms of the people who I thought could make the final two. Mm-hmm. I think so. Her headpiece, the feathers that move, there's mm-hmm. a designer, Cameron Hughes, and he does all of this like drag tech mixture content. He created this dress for Aquaria that also has feathers that come up and down. So they're all like Arduino controlled, like little pieces. And he did this look as well, her headpiece, which is super cool. Mm-hmm. Very obsessed with that. I love this mix of using tech in your designs. And his stuff is actually reliable, unlike the money guns that everybody seems to use that never work. So
Monet. Now,
I know. Yeah. Another queen taken down by a money gun. I was really loving it. I actually agree. I don't even remember the song, but I remember her looks, and that was cool. So
I think the one thing that's a disconnect for me with her outfit in the reveal is mm-hmm. that at the end of the day, besides her eyes and mouth, there's nothing about her body, the way that mm-hmm. she's painted or presented it, that's demon-like. And sure. that she relies purely on the reveal for it. Mm-hmm. And I think that's fine. Like but if you're in the finale, I would hope that there is a reveal to something going on than the way that you've painted your body, like you're a demon showgirl or something like that. I don't know. It seems kind of weird that it's just like, here's a demon bodysuit, but the rest of me is fine. No veins or anything drawn to.
Yeah, it's still glam. She had the contact lenses, which she was, I think, trying to use to get at that. But definitely, if she wanted to take it to a more gory level, I guess maybe mm-hmm. is the right word, I think she definitely could have. Mm-hmm. Okay, let's talk about Diabetti. So Diabetti, her song was what? Fighter, I think? Just Fighter?
Yes.
Sure.
Okay. And I'm trying to pull up where she pops up her little
tentacles.
And tentacles.
Bug, right? Yeah. That was like the whole thing. She went through metamorphosis, Mattymorphosis, if you will.
Oh, man. Again, this is one where I was more intrigued by the outfit and the choice there, but I didn't see how it connected to the song.
She's like, the whole thing is like, she's like in her chrysalis, in her cocoon, and she's like gonna, you know, might be underestimated, but she's gonna prove that she's made of something beautiful and fight the odds and survive and evolve and metamorph into something greater. I liked the intro of it all. I liked the fact that there was furthermore, I liked the stage setup. I liked the fact that the workroom was kind of recreated on the stage. It was like mm-hmm. a nice little through line that I don't think they've ever done that before, unless I can't think of anything else. But, yeah, they had like the little cobwebs, and then she like breaks free of that and has like a little flowing cocoon. I just wish that the antennacles were like stuffed inside of that, so we didn't know that was coming. Because as soon as I saw it, I was like, oh, those are going to pop up. I know they're going to pop up.
Mm-hmm. Well, they kind of did a little bit before. Like they kind of went, and then dropped back down.
Yeah. But I think that she was probably one of the most in character the entire time. I think they all sort of gave us something, but I was able to really understand what she was giving. She was moving weirdly. She was giving you like bug, I guess, all the way up until the end. Like even as the music had stopped, she was still just moving in that way. So I thought that she was very, very, I mean, Diabetti likes to really, really give it to you in the performances. I think she really has a chip on her shoulder from being compared to Crystal Method so much. And I think that when she said, I am, like, we are of the same family, but I'm a lot more edgier than she is. Like, she's literally a clown.
Right.
That's not me. So I think that she does everything in her power to show us that she's got edge. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, I liked it. And I thought the song was very, like, reminiscent of, like it gave me, like, early Paramore sort of, like, Flyleaf, very much like it gave me that. So I liked it.
I was very drawn in by the visuals. I am such a sucker for things that sway and move and like it's shiny, and I'm a toddler when it comes to just watching stuff like this. Mm-hmm. So I was also very drawn into the way that it looks. And yeah, I got sort of the whole metamorphosis kind of thing. A friend of mine messaged me and said the dragonfly, like it was a meme, the dragonfly that Daya ate, it allowed her to dragonfly at the end.
The dragonfly. Ooh.
Right, which we did find out she got her 10,000 dual hairs, of course, via Cash App.
Was it 10,000 or was it 1,000?
1,000.
I was like, hold on, Cornbread. Hold on. I got some spiders.
I have cockroaches to eat. I have plenty. Yeah.
No. I live in New York. I'm sure I could find a cockroach somewhere.
Oh my gosh. No, no, no. 1,000. I misspoke. So. For those reasons, I was really captivated by it. I had sort of written her off to make the final two from the get-go, so I kind of felt bad, but I want to give her props for putting on something that, at least to me, the costume was very appealing to watch.
I also think the scrim behind her was more interesting as well, with that kind of cosmic kind of background. Like, I can't help, after, you know, studying theater in college, like I can't help but break down, like, why did they do this lighting choice and like those kind of things. And it was just, I felt like hers was the most cohesive performance that we saw. Mm-hmm. Everything from lighting to staging, the choreography, how in character she was, everything. She, I think, was my second favorite performance of the night. But I also agree that I didn't necessarily think she should have made the final two. So, which once again tells me, like, well, the performances didn't really matter in terms of going to the final two. Mm-hmm. Which that's to say, I mean, obviously Willow and Camden, I do think, had good performances. But
for me,
the little balls in her hair, I feel like a lot of them have been doing this thing where like their hair gets like crinkled and there's like jewels that are encrusted along the crinkle of the hair, because I saw her, she did that, and Jeria had that, and Jada Essence Hall did that in her promo look for All-Star 7. So I'm like, I guess this must be in the drag world right now,
the trend. Yeah, which, by the way, the Jada singing Losing is the New Winning. I was like, but she's a winner, and she's going on All Winners.
I'm literally, not only...
Yeah, that was weird.
I was so convinced. I was like,
lost.
Is this not Jada? Am I like messing this, like the entire time I was like, I had to have been confusing her with another queen. There's no way they would put a queen who is literally on the season of All Winners that they are like pushing in the commercials is singing a song about losing. Made no sense.
Winning is the new winning also, I suppose.
And she opened it. It's not like she just was in it. She's like, you know what? What if I opened it as a winner?
Yeah. Yeah, that was a choice. That was definitely a choice. And we'll, yeah, so, but we didn't mention at the top of the show, we're going to talk about the all winners season a little bit at the end and some of our scheduling for that. So we will be covering the all winners season. And we also got the preview, the extra preview in this episode as well, the finale. So, okay. Let's talk about who is next.
Lady Camden.
Yes.
Lady Camden.
Lady Camden. So Lady Camden did, was it Willow or was it Camden that was next?
Camden. They did in alphabetical order.
Okay. So I fell down. I got back up. Camden is doing her ballet sort of thing here in heels, which, yeah, I was expecting her to be on point, was not. That's fine. It's her choice, I guess, maybe. And really, it was all about her reveal, the Freddie Mercury reveal look. And that was the entire focus of the song. I mean, of course, it like alludes to the broader theme of when you fail, you get back up again. But it just felt like it was really all about the one runway reveal.
Which to me, once again, tells me, what did the editors want to put together as like, this was your defining moment, so therefore this is it. Like, I really don't think they get to be like, well, I felt like this. They're like, yeah, but we're not going to show that. So what if we did this instead? Or we decided to edit you in this way. Like,
yeah.
I just feel like Camden knocked it out of the park, to be honest. She is just so good at performing. And I felt like she had the most, like she had the best in terms of her performance, performed the best out of everybody. But I do think that it was just kind of one note.
Yeah, it was a little one note, but I'm a little biased because I feel like it sort of like catered to my sensibilities because I'm such a fan of just like pop and like pop stars and acts. I just like want to see like, I just want to see glitz and glam and in choreography and just that whole, that's just like where I stay. So if I were ever, if I were RuPaul, I'd be, the pop girls would keep winning. Like, y'all would hate me. Like, I'm, but yeah, but I did think that there was, I think it was like a lot of energy in the room for Camden. Like, you saw a lot of the audience, like as soon as she spun out of that tutu and then into that corset and then she took the wig off, like the whole room just like erupted because like Drag Race finale crowds are trained now for reveals. You just want to see a reveal. Where is it? Show it to me. Give it to me now. And I don't think that hers was like anything particularly special. But nonetheless, I guess, you know, she delivered it and she sold it and the crowd went apeshit. So I think that she, in terms of like performance, I think she had one of the better ones, according to the audience.
Yeah, so it's interesting because I felt like I personally was a little bit, not underwhelmed is not the right word, because like I was whelmed. No, I mean, because I just have, in the same way that Amon has his preferences of what he likes to see, I have my preferences and what I like to see. So the Boscos and Diabetes, to me, were more interesting. I thought Diabetes' performance was more interesting to me, but I think you can't deny how outstanding Lady Camden is just as a performer in general. And so the style may not be like my fave, but I could definitely understand why she would be in the final two. And for me, it was like automatically a Willow, you know, in the final two. And then it was a question of, well, it's got to be Camden in that second slot. Like, it just felt like no one else could go. And especially with, I agree with what Amon is saying, the energy in the room for Camden and the energy online for Camden was also just like outstanding.
It was really interesting. I expected that Willow would be the overwhelming majority for people to root for the finale. And I didn't, not that I didn't expect Camden to get some love, because I think a lot of us just like, every episode fell in love with her even more. And she kind of had a slower start, whereas Willow was like from day one, everybody loved Willow. Right. But Lady Camden really got that support online, which was, I'm happy to see that. I think just again, her performance was the best part about it. The staging was meh. The, you know, everything else was expected or whatever. Like, it didn't have this like huge, cohesive, amazing performance in the way that I felt like Willow and Diaz did. But I do feel like you can't, like you said, Aliana, you can't deny. Like, Camden's an incredible performer.
I feel like the audience, a lot of the audience probably sort of like saw themselves in Camden a lot. I think that there are a lot of people that watch this show, and I think there's like a big demographic that aren't necessarily like big boisterous personalities. It's like, that's one of the main draws to Drag Race for a lot of people, is that it just sort of like allows you to sort of like, I mean, they talk about it so much. Queens just talk about living the fantasy, feeling the fantasy. And I feel like these queens, I mean, we know that they develop such strong parasocial relationships with the fans, and the fans project so much of themselves onto the queens. And I think that Lady Camden sort of being like an understated character, and sort of being this underdog, but also realizing that she's an underdog and like trying to take that moment to stand up to Bosco during that challenge, and not necessarily even winning in that altercation, but then winning in the end. I feel like a lot of people probably really attached themselves to that narrative, and just wanted to see her win and succeed after that. So I think a lot of that transfers to Willow as well. Not that everyone is walking around with a serious condition like Willow is, but that, you know, I think that a lot of people relate to having weaknesses, and you're naturally inclined to want to root for those people. And I think that this final two is very indicative of that.
I think there's also something to be said about the fandom also wanting to see essentially a repeat of season 11's final two, which we get, which is an international ballet dancer going against a weird, Denver
wacko
queen
from Denver with like an illness.
So it's just like, I think that there were people who were like, oh my God, how fun would that be? That'd be so cool. They're both a great final two. The difference, of course, is in season 11, I couldn't see anybody but Brooklyn and Evie winning or being the final two. And this one, I definitely could have seen like Injuria up there. I could see a case for Diabetti to be there. I could see Bosco being there. Like, there were, I would have been fine with any of the five winning. I would have been fine with any of the five going to the final two. I do ultimately think we had the best of the final two up there. So I just think, you know, this was a really interesting season to watch all unfold.
Well, I mean, you know, I'll tell you, in terms of relating to the queens, like, I definitely related, and I mentioned this, to Willow's performance, the I Hate People song, which if we're talking about, you know, who got the best part, I think Willow got the best song, at least for me.
Yeah.
I thought it was really fun. And then even though her outfit didn't really make sense necessarily, because isn't it like, don't you hate people? So why do you have extra heads? Or maybe those are the only people that you like because they're you.
Right.
I don't
know. I thought the same thing. I was like, so what is she trying to say here? It's like that she can only stand herself.
Right.
Or these,
I thought it was supposed to be a joke in the same way. Like, she's like, I hate people. Especially these two, they're connected to me. Like, blah, 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 blah. Like, that,
yeah,
that's, I thought it was supposed
also
to be a joke.
That, okay.
Thing.
Too. I was like, does she like even hates herself as well? So it's like, what, like, what is this? Like, you just never know a Willow. She's just like,
I also think this was a throwback to Evie Oddly and having the multiple heads and, you know, the season 11 finale and that kind of thing too. So I think there was a variety of things that were just like little homages. But the whole point for like Willow is that you can't take anything Willow does seriously because she doesn't take anything seriously. So there may not be a literal meaning for this. You just kind of have to enjoy the ride. But I had the same exact, because I'm very like, well, what does the rational part of my mind think about this? And then I was just like, what it's telling me is, you know, release and just enjoy. That's what it's telling me.
Well, this was really enjoyable. I really like, you know, obviously she can't really move that much, but also, even though Willow did sort of hide some of her dancing ability, that's not the first thing that I think we think of when we think of Willow's performances. It is going to be something that's more quirky, more silly. And we did get to see that a little bit, or the dancing element, I suppose, in the final lip sync here. It was just about the silliness. It was about her face, because that's really all you could see for the majority of the performance, and then the fun reveals with the two heads next to her, and then of course the head on her crotch, which was just a nice little added something to the performance. After I watched hers, she was the one that I said, ah, yes, 100% she's in the final two. And then it was just a matter of who was going to join her.
She had one of the stronger reveals. You know, she really captured the unexpected of it all. We thought that it ended here and then, woo!
Yeah, exactly.
Hello!
Woo! Hello! All right, so we've discussed this. Lady Camden and Willow are the two that move on to the final lip sync, and they perform Cher's ABBA cover of Gimme, 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 A Man After Midnight. Mm-hmm. Amon, what do you think of the final lip sync?
I think Camden beat Willow here, but I think it was just hard. I think in order to beat Willow Pill at Drag Race in its entirety, you would have had to have just murdered her in lip sync. And I don't think that Lady Camden did that. So I think, you know, given everything that went into this competition, I think it was fair to say that Willow probably had this in the bag. I didn't necessarily care too much for Willow's outfit. Like, you know, it was very much Willow Pill, you know, but I just didn't really understand it. And to Beth's point, maybe I'm really not supposed, I'm just supposed to appreciate it for the wacky. I mean, she said, you know, in the beginning of the season, she likes to really delve into like creepy, weird, wacky things that just haunt her, like big, like, I mean, she has such problems because of her cystinosis with her extremities. So these like larger than life extremities, I feel like is how she deals with her illness. Mm-hmm. And so it means a lot to her. It just doesn't register a lot for me. But with that being said, maybe it's not supposed to. So, I did enjoy Lady Camden. I loved the callback to her falling. There were a few people in the ball that were like, you did that already. And I'm like, oh, let her have it. Let her have it. It's her moment. Just let her have it. It was great. I would have preferred if the wig were a little different because we've already seen the long red hair because you literally just wore it. So if it had been something else, maybe I would have, you know, been a little bit more like, oh, yeah. But I still loved it. I thought it was great. I thought it was great.
So I learned that her wig reveal, and I could see this a little bit when I went back and watched it, was not smooth, and the way that they edited it was actually very, very graceful, and that it was not like it's like she lost the lip sync at that moment. What I kind of felt like was nothing about Willow's performance shocked me. I was like, she's wearing, of course there's going to be reveals underneath, and the reveals weren't even that great. I didn't think that she did an amazing job lip syncing because I know that she's done good lip syncing, but she to me is not somebody that I watch because of the lip sync. I watch because of whatever weird performance she has decided to put with a lip sync. Mm-hmm. So when we've seen her in the, you know, Lollapalooza and, you know, all these other things, it's, I'm not watching it being like, oh my God, Willow's lip syncing abilities. I'm more like, what is her full package trying to tell me? Right. Mm-hmm. I was quite honestly bored with her in this final lip sync. Versus Camden had a, like, again, she already did it, but it was like, it was a much better reveal at the end of the day, but it wasn't as smooth. So like Willow was able to get a smooth transition going and was able to carry out the same energy all the way through. And I felt like Camden had a stumble and had a better reveal, but it didn't get pulled off smoothly. And that ruined her momentum for the end of the song. So I just generally felt like they were both kind of like, okay, it was a final performance. I mean, someone's going to win regardless, and I'm going to be happy with whoever wins. Like, I didn't really feel like one really outshone the other in any capacity.
Yeah.
I disagree so much. I was obsessed with Will. I can't find a good, like, full, like, big shot of her, like, weird-ass Tim Burton meets David Byrne outfit, and then she reveals the top and it's just the pants. Like, that was so fun. And then the outfit underneath, like, wasn't really that much to write home about, but
it was just the pants.
It was just the top with like these big ass arms. I was also very obsessed with her the design look where she was like the nightmare teddy bear with the long arms. Maybe I'm just like obsessed with these weird proportions.
Yeah,
she's so tiny. She's so tiny, and she's got these like big ass. I don't know. I thought it was so cool. I definitely hear what you're saying, Beth, about like, well, maybe her face is not giving as much face, but I don't really care because there's all this other stuff going on and I can't stop. I couldn't stop looking at her. I just couldn't. Mm-hmm. I couldn't stop looking at her weird ass arms. Like, I don't know why. It was just really enchanting to me. And then when she took it off, I wish she had left it on for longer. Even though she couldn't like dance or move in it or anything. Right. I kind of didn't even really care. I just wanted to see her long arms.
Okay, so I'm watching it now and I can see
that, the Camden reveal. So,
yeah, she falls.
Yes.
And they pan out. You can see that she's like struggling with getting it all the way off.
Yeah.
I think she recovers rather nicely though, but all of Willow's reveals were definitely cleaner, whereas she had that one slip up with the wig.
I think, and the editors definitely did her a favor there by cutting away from that.
Totally.
Like seeing her struggle.
I don't think they have any business unless somebody like absolutely flops to like.
It's like rub it in. Look at you, bitch. You fucked up.
With the last lip sync. Like, and at that point, they both know at least they're going to have $50,000. So like, I mean, yeah, you want the title, you want the win and that kind of thing. But if I'm them, I'm going to be like, bitch, I just made 50K. I don't care that my wig just got snatched. Let's just finish this off. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I think because I've seen, not necessarily in a drag performance, but I've seen this like reveal the overcoat to find just pants underneath or reveal the pants and it's just a long shirt. The cut, I've seen those kind of things in like cartoons or and that kind of thing. I think that's why I expected it. So there wasn't any reveal that Willow did that I didn't already anticipate, but that's it. I'm not trying to say like it was underwhelming. I'm just saying that like I felt like her reveals were okay. I expected that. That's great. I didn't expect like the colors and everything that came out of Camden's, but I didn't think Camden did it as smoothly as Willow. I think Willow had much more practice.
All right. Well, it doesn't really matter what they did, I don't think, because from what I could tell, Rue was definitely all about the Willow pill from the moment that it was, you're part of my tribe. Like, you are me. I get you. I get that. And she is ultimately crowned our winner of season 14.
I was also able to confirm they did not film a double win. It was only
really
the two of them. So,
oh.
So they did not film like a dual crown where both of them win.
Okay. So they just filmed, they filmed Lady Camden winning and they filmed Willow winning and then that's it. Okay.
In a lot of other seasons, they filmed both queens winning together just in case. Like I know that they did that with Trixie and Kennedy. I know that they did that in season 10 with Aquaria and I can't remember
if it was All Stars 4. Didn't they just like
spliced it together?
That one they did it, which is so funny. It's like the one time they didn't do it and then they're like, what if we just have RuPaul do an obvious one, you both win, like voiceover.
It was so awkward because then they just had them like side by side both walking. It was like, ooh.
It was and so then bad. Freaking like the them like being at whatever watch party they were at, Trinity and Monet, and just like the disparaging but like the disparity between the reactions, like Monet's like, oh my god, sis, we won! And she's like, huh? You still get the 100,000, right?
Yeah.
Do we each get 100,000 or are we splitting it? That's my favorite thing because as much as I want to be like, oh, I think I'd be a Monet, I actually do think I'd be a Monet in that situation, but you better believe my Capricorn rising on the inside being like, bitch, do I get 100K or 50? I was promised 100K if I won and I just won.
Funny. little clause about the producers preserve any right to change and out of it. Like, no, bitch, no.
My money. Well, Lady Camden as our second place winner gets $50,000, which is more than any UK winner has gotten ever. So because she can actually get a cash prize here. So good for her.
Which I still think is not enough. I think they need to make winning Drag Race a $250,000 prize and then make All Stars $500,000. That's just my
opinion.
I
mean, a lot of girls are putting as much money into Drag Race as they would if they were buying a house. So if not more. So
and they can do it. They used to have these shows like back in the celebrity days of the I Love New Yorks and Flavor of Loves. When they brought all the two together for I Love Money,
the grand prize was $250,000. If you can do it for them ratchets, you can do it for artists. Okay.
That's true. That's so true. I've never heard that comparison before, Amon, but that, like, you've the convinced money's there. Me. That's so true. That's so true. Those idiots don't need $250,000 at all.
These artists do.
Exactly. All right. Let's talk about Miss Congeniality because, okay. So first of all, Cornbread is awarded our Miss Congeniality. But there was some talk, I think, who brought it up about Angeria mm-hmm. winning Miss Congeniality.
I actually thought Carrie Colby was going to win it.
Really? Well, Deja,
I think Deja thought she was going to win it also because her look was inspired by Miss Congeniality.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'm going to pull up the look, which is so funny.
What?
We should talk so about the looks for all the queens.
I literally watched Miss Congeniality later that night with the friend that
it was
the
right
ballet.
After.
Yeah. Yeah, and he was like, I'd never actually seen it before. Like, what is this movie about? I was like, it's about Sandra Bullock. She's like a cop, and she like goes undercover in a pageant. Holy shit! No, Deja, no. He's dressed up with nowhere to go. No,
that's so awkward. That's so funny.
It's a funny thing because I do appreciate that what they've done now is. They've taken it away from the fans and just said, y'all know who's congenial, like the cast votes. But mm-hmm. like, I love Cornbread. I'm happy Cornbread got something for the season. But at the same time, I'm like, I really thought Deja or Carrie would win. I actually never thought of Angeria. I thought Deja or Carrie would win. I figured Carrie had made, you know, so many of the girls, you know, more comfortable with their identity. You saw her being very supportive. Mm-hmm. She's obviously a beloved cast member, both in the cast and, you know, outside of it. And I felt like Deja had always been so supportive, like look no further than the roast when she promised to laugh when nobody else would. And she upheld her promise there. So I could see those kind of aspects of it. I feel like
it was a lot of just like, I mean, if it's up to the queens, it is what it is. So we can't like judge their decisions too harshly because we're not there in the workroom or whatever. But, mm-hmm. you know, just based off of what we've seen, I would agree with you, Beth. I feel like there were probably stronger contenders, in my opinion, only because, I mean, you know, bless her ankle. But I mean, it took her out and she wasn't mm-hmm. there for as long as some of the other queens were there to sort of like develop a relationship. But I just feel like there was just so much like, I feel like, I mean, because I wouldn't describe Cornbread as necessarily congenial, especially with the way that the whole thing between her and Jasmine Kennedy went down. Like, not that you're not allowed to have, you know, your arguments here and there. And not even that it was even that bad between her and Jasmine. But I was just like, that doesn't like ring congenial to me. That just rings like, let me tell you about yourself real quick, sis, because you're getting on my nerves. Like, that's what that is.
Stop taking notes. You're annoying me. Stop
right. Reading. So, yeah, I felt like probably, I mean, I guess now that you're saying that, I could probably make a case for Carrie as well, or Deja, but I mean, it is what it is. I feel like if Willow Pill was going to vote for Cornbread, I feel like that probably created like a snowball effect.
There's a part of me that almost wonders because Cornbread has now been very explicit that she was not invited back for next season and likely wouldn't be doing an All-Stars. There's something going on in the background that I feel like the queens were like, well, let's give you money instead. Yeah. You know, like, I think that there was probably a campaign like that. Again, I'm not saying that to devalue anything that Cornbread did because we do know that we love Cornbread and we know that she was incredibly congenial when it came to Willow and looking mm-hmm. after her. And after she left, we saw no queen be like, hey, here's some warm water in a cup. Like, keep your hands warm. I'm going to, you know, sew something for you for like 5 minutes or whatever so that you can take a break or whatever. We never saw that. That doesn't mean it doesn't happen, but there was a very clear difference there. And I think that what we saw from the reunion too were queens were appreciative of the fact that Cornbread was not somebody who's going to talk about you behind their back. She's going to come up and talk to you about how things are. Right. And that, so there's no two-facedness about it. and Jasmine clearly was like, no, I'm happy she did that because it made me think of things differently. Maybe I'm not the best at it still, but I think that there's aspects of it where I can see why she was voted, but I mm-hmm. definitely feel like whatever's going on in the background, I think was probably more of a motivator.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. It's their choice, so I'm fine with it.
Yeah, fine
you
with
know,
it
like yeah. whatever they want to do, it's up to the queens. And as far
like,
as
ever
I know,
since season 9, when the girls like changed the name of the award.
I mean, let us not forget Lala Ree won last year, and none of us saw that coming.
Yeah,
so.
True. Very, very true. Okay.
I don't feel like you should be Miss Congeniality.
Fan favorite. Fan favorite.
Yeah,
fan
on,
favorite award.
okay. Could we talk a little bit about some of the entrance looks for these queens?
The Absolutely. Beginning? Yes.
The fact that we have not yet talked about Kerry Colby's gauntlet outfit is like a crime. And I'm dying. I love that she said, okay, the internet's going to make a little meme out of me being Thanos or Tranos, as she's now dubbed herself. Well, I'm going to make my own fabulous Infinity Gauntlet outfit and walk down. It was so good. I love it so much.
This moment where she points to the stones, I was laughing so hard. Yes, the queen gets it. So
I think,
funny.
Does she have pictures of the queens on there?
It would be amazing if underneath the jewels it had each
like little all of the queens coming out. Yeah. Oh my god.
Oh
god. I mean, I was dying. I was like, please snap your fingers, please. Let's just see what happens.
Could you imagine everyone's just like, ah, it just freaks out. Like there's like a spark or something that comes out. That would be great.
Yeah, that would have been really fun.
Pyrotechnics.
Okay, who else?
Well, we already talked about Deja, so
we already talked about Deja. We have Matymorphosis.
There was some
great fantasy as Elvis.
There was a little bit of, I won't say controversy, but I guess like expected controversy about Simone's outfit. I saw a lot of people like, you know, expecting people to get pissed off that she sort of wore something that wasn't like a gown or, you know, full of rhinestones and stuff like that. She sort of wore something a little bit more like pedestrian, quote unquote. And I don't know, like, I still understand people that probably wanted something a little bit more from Simone, but I'm also like, I remember like watching her come out and not really feeling any type of way about it. I was kind of like, oh, she looks good. Like this is just Simone. She's giving you body. She's giving you that body lava. She's mm-hmm. shining. She's giving you what she always gives you. So I sort of like didn't really take too much issue with it. And I kind of felt like it was sort of like a nice parallel to sort of like the eventual winner of this season and how like Willow Pill sort of came in with something that was very, you know, sort of run of the mill OTR, you know, and I kind of like that. I mean, it's not like Simone doesn't give it to us. Like, I mean, she gave us plenty of great looks in season 13, and then she's probably had one of the most like visible reigns as a winner of Drag Race in the past few years, especially due to the pandemic. She's been all over the place in so many great looks. So we know she can give it to us. So I guess like her seeing her come out in something that's a little bit more comfortable, but still very much signature Simone was like fine to me. I was fine.
Well, it was definitely a throwback to like the Lil' Kim outfit in like the 1998 mm-hmm. or seven, something like that. And I don't know if y'all saw the video of how they made the top. It's so cool. Mm-hmm. They basically made a cast and then, you know, to make that wet t-shirt kind of look. So like there was a lot that went into this. What I will always appreciate, especially, you know, as a white woman who grew up in a very homogenous area, are the things that Simone gets to teach people about Black excellence and culture that I immediately looked up, like, what were some of the inspirations for this look that I maybe wasn't aware of or I never had cause to know before because of either my privilege or it's not something I grew up with. And so I think we always have to remember, and I appreciate like, yeah, Violet Chachki broke the mold, whatever, when she came out in that, but that's what Violet does. This is what Simone does. There's not a single look that she did on her season that wasn't tied to something that was familiar in her upbringing and something that showcased, what it's like to be either a Black woman or a Black person in America, right? And I thought that that's what's just so beautiful about this look, is that she's once again harnessing that. I was happy with this. I'm happy that, I'm sure that there are people out there who were like, she didn't come out in a gown or whatever. Like, there's no rule that says you have to come out in the most glamorous gown of all time. Mm-hmm. Come out as you are. This is Simone making statements in drag, as drag should be, but doing it in a way that is true to her aesthetic and the messages that she would like to make people think about. Mm-hmm.
To me, this didn't hit my radar as a, like, I didn't even think of that until you guys brought it up. Like, mm-hmm. Oh my gosh, didn't wear a gown. I was like, wow, yeah, she looks stunning. I love those pants. Mm-hmm. End of story. I was more upset.
That's where I was when I watched it.
I was like more upset that Lala Ri didn't do an updated bag look.
I know. Especially because the look that she did come out was fine, but it wasn't I don't know. I just really wanted, she should have, she couldn't find one designer that would have like happily put together a gown made out of, oh, come on. That was such a
I would have died if she came out as one single gift bag. So like the spaghetti straps were like the straps for the bag. And it's just I would have died. It would have been so good.
Lala Ri, come on now. You got to give it to us at least once at something, please.
We're begging.
I'm waiting for it. Okay, is there anything else from the finale that you guys want to touch on? Otherwise, we'll move to the reunion.
No, I just think in general, I thought it was a great finale. I was entertained. I think it flowed well.
Mm-hmm. So. Yeah. I was happy that it wasn't 2 hours. I don't know why my brain had it as 2 hours, but I was happy it was only an hour and a half, although it was sandwiched between Mean Girls, which was hilarious. Yeah. Because when Mean Girls came on after, I was like, wait, I just like saw the end.
With that dramatic ass music. Dun, 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 dun.
Oh my gosh.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Okay, reunion time. So we had a lot of topics discussed at the reunion. We had the queens who were eliminated before the reading challenge get an opportunity to read. And of course, we got Boot, Shoot and Toot for some of the looks. The Golden Boot winner, Maddie Morphosis, for her, I don't even know what to call it, patchwork dress thing.
Coat of many colors dress.
Yeah. Right. Great hetero.
To me, the biggest story was, of course, the continuation of the Jasmine Kennedy Diabetti drama, which we got a very heated discussion here. And Aman, you mentioned, I think, that this was very reminiscent of old school reunion. Totally felt exactly the same way. This was a lot and real. It felt like such real emotion. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it definitely did. You can tell sometimes when these queens are just waiting. They're just waiting. They're not going to, you know, bring it up out on gigs, out on the road, at Roscoe. So they're just going to wait for the reunion to bring this up. Because I've been waiting to talk to you about this for a long, long time. It's been months, but I'm ready to get in your ass. And get in your ass they did. So, and I'm happy for it.
I have a lot of respect for Diabetti being like, yeah, I'm sorry I made you feel bad, but I'm not taking back anything I said. Because I love whoever, I don't know if it was her or Bosco or whatever. When did we get to this world where drag queens can't be fucking catty? Like, that is the point of so many parts of drag queens or whatever, right? Now, I'm not saying that the point of being a drag queen should be that you're a bitch. Like, that's not what I'm saying. But you're in a drag competition. There's nothing that Daya was a brat. She was a brat the way she said things. She was kind of bitchy sometimes, but she never said anything.
All of that stuff that she said that she was getting. Like, come on now.
Come on. That's like ridiculous. And I also think, like, I kind of sit back, and if it's true of what she was saying about that's not true, I called you, or you called me right before I had a gig. Like, Jasmine, you know if someone in your cast is at Roscoe's. I'm sorry. Like, you know who is there. It's a rotating schedule. I'm sure all of you and your sisters know. You know what the drill is when you get there, how much time you have. You're going to be there for the viewing. Then you have to perform. There's going to be meet and greets. There's stuff that you have to do to prepare. So the one time that you called her was right before Ross. That's on you, Jasmine. That's, again, that's another lack of self-awareness thing. Now, all of that said, Jasmine absolutely has every right to feel a certain way, because if somebody came at me the way that Daya came at her, I would also feel a certain way about it. Like, she there, it did feel like Daya was consistently coming after Georges and Jasmine. Do I agree with her? Yeah, I kind of do. I do agree that, you know, there were times where I was like, Jasmine and Georges are not being sent home and there's no one going home. But how much of that is Jasmine and Georges's fault? And do you really need to express that to their face? So yeah, while what you're feeling, Daya, is important, it's not always necessary to express it. So both queens just need to learn a little bit more self-awareness. That's what it came down to. But the fact that people were so up in arms about Daya that they were sending her like death threats and such, like, y'all need to calm down. I have full faith it was nobody who had listened to our podcast, but still.
Yeah. I mean, obviously that type of behavior is just completely unacceptable, right?
It's like, just like an overcorrection, I feel like, especially within this day and age. And I hate to use this dreaded sentence that I hear a lot of people use whenever they are upset with people for being upset about things that are no longer acceptable in today's society. But I do think that there is like a bit of like, y'all are a little too sensitive. Yeah. Y'all are just a little too sensitive. Like, not everything is a cancelable offense. You have to remember that people are just people. They are in a pressure cooker of a competition. They are going to feel things and say things the same way that the rest of us feel things and say things, except that they don't really get the luxury of getting to do it on like the privacy of, you know, of their own home. They're on TV and things come out and they say things, and it is what it is. It doesn't make any of them horrible people. It just means that they just were frustrated and they said something mean, and it really is just between the two of them. Not sure, as the audience, we can respond to it and we can like have our feelings about it, but I think that's where it needs to end. Like, you're not like, you are a viewer. You are not an active participant in this. And I feel like with, you know, social media and everything, we know the story. It just, with all the access that people have to these queens nowadays, and the younger that the fan base is getting and the less mature that the fan base is getting, they just feel like they just gotta like go on the attack and just like, just, you know, defend their faves and do all this stuff. And then I think sometimes some of these queens sort of like eat it up a little bit. Like, I mean, we saw the whole thing back in season 9 with Valentina, when her fans were attacking everybody coming after everybody, and she's kind of sat there and didn't say anything because she doesn't want to get ate up herself. So it's like, I think it's sort of like this, like sometimes it can be a very really good symbiotic relationship because it brings about like prosperity for the queens, but also at the same time, like, it can be very, very mentally taxing and emotionally taxing. And I feel like people should just have to just remember, it's just a TV show. Even if somebody says something really, really mean, it's between them. They will handle it. And if they don't want to be friends anymore, then that's it. They don't got to be friends anymore. Like, that don't got nothing to do with you. You can go on about your day and watch the next episode. Like, it just is what it is.
Inherently, nothing that Daya said that was worse than...
Yeah, and Daya isn't even the worst of it. Yeah, like... Yeah,
like, there was nothing that she said that is downright hateful or like something that would go against a protected identity or anything. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, like... Come on. Like, take the energy you have for this and put it to the lawmakers in all these states that are like making trans kids' lives a living hell, or that don't say gay bill or whatever. Take that and put it where it's actually supposed to be making a difference right now. Why are you mad at Diabetti for being like, oh, you're in China? Like, Who cares?
Could we like not channel? That's such a fabulous idea. I would love to channel that energy at representatives that are doing horrible shit. Like,
right.
That's so, can you imagine all the gays coming after our like representatives? That would be awesome. I think they could actually get something done. I would love that.
Yeah, like, honestly.
Seriously, every week, you know how we used to, Liana, we used to like plug a charity every week. Maybe the next thing is, okay, here's the senator we all have to write to this week. Yeah, okay. Exactly. Here's the representative. Here's the state person. Like, we're all coming after this person. God.
And we've already seen that it's possible to do stuff like that. Like when that whole news story broke about all those people from Gen Z buying up all of those Trump rally tickets. I mean, not to get too political, but like, I'm just saying that there is like movements that like, you should be focus on more things like that and not like a drag race competition.
Let the energy flow through you. Just direct it that way.
Mad this person was a bitch, but you know who's also a bitch?
Yeah, exactly. Laura Boebert, like Majorie or whatever.
Green.
Yeah, exactly. Ted Cruz. God, there's horrible people everywhere. Yeah, that actually have power, that are making the LGBTQ community struggle. Yes. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm down. I love this.
Yeah.
Okay. What else? So yeah, we had the Bosco Lady Camden fight also was discussed.
Mm-hmm. Angeria. I can't tell if they're doing things together or if it's just we'll see what happens.
They're getting to know each other better. Georges and Orion's story, although Georges apparently does not reply to messages. So
my favorite thing about that was like there was another showmance and it was like they barely held hands in a van. Like that's what the showmance was.
And now Jasmine doesn't reply to any messages.
Georges.
Which is so weird. It's like Georges, you were the one that like you did this. Like you wrote a message to Orion when she got eliminated, saying like, I've always had a little bit of a crush on you and now you're not responding. Like
apparently it's everybody. Like apparently nobody can get in touch with Georges because that's what the follow-up comments were. But
wow.
All right. So there was also the discussion of Carrie Colby and all of the queens who either came out on the show in the case of Jasmine Kennedy or who have come out as trans after the show. And so I thought that it was nice that we got to check in with all of the queens that have gone through or are going through that transition. So I thought that that was really nice, especially for Drag Race, which has had a tough history with trans contestants, to actually dedicate a whole segment on the reunion to this, I thought was like, finally.
And also now it sets up the finale where right now we have a current reigning all-star queen who's trans. Our current reigning queen is trans and the Miss Congeniality is trans. So like everybody, there's so much trans representation now, but I want to hit home the point that was the most important about Carrie Colby is that her story on the show from the get-go was not, look at me, I'm the trans contestant. She was able to encourage other people to come to terms with herself because that's a part of who she is, but it's not the whole part of who she is. And I love that Drag Race has kind of stopped being like, I don't know, like almost tokenizing of trans identities. And it's just like, let's go with the flow, like lead by example as a mainstream competition reality show that has queer identities on here. And I love that this is the direction that we've headed in, where we had so much more of an organic conversation with Jasmine because it wasn't, what is my like edited storyline going to be? What my every confessional has to come back to me being trans or something like that. That's what I loved about this season. And that's what I loved about Carrie. And so I'm happy that we were able to check in at the reunion and have a very genuine, lovely conversation about it.
Mm-hmm. And I think to include the stuff that happened off the show, I think was good too, because it fully contextualizes everything that happened and how the queens were inspired by her as just such a confident human being.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. So what else did we get? We got some roasts. We got some looks. Is there anything else that y'all want to talk about for the reunion?
I thought that it was okay. It was reminiscent again of season 9, where you had kind of a kumbaya season and we had ended up having like one or two kind of like little arguments that happened. But other than that, I don't really feel like, I don't think it was as good as the season 9 reunion where I was like, oh shit, that was juicy and I didn't expect it. I felt like this one was like, it was solid. I love
season 9's reunion. Oh my God. Oh, I loved it so much.
Because there's so many iconic moments. Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was fine. I thought it was good. Do you guys know if the order that these were filmed in? I know we've talked about this before, but do we know if the reunion was filmed before or after the finale?
I think
before.
Or was it after this time?
So in the past, they've done the reunion after the finale, but they've aired it first.
Uh-huh.
I can't remember for this season if they did it.
I feel like I remember seeing something online like last week about how they were filming the finale now.
Yeah. Okay. So that's what I thought too, that it was like based on when they had those like red carpet looks and everything for the finale would have had to have the reunion would have had to have filmed right based on like when it was filming, which I thought was nice because it felt like it didn't give away too much. But then I was also still for some reason trying to read into it. Cause I was like, oh, and Jerry didn't really talk that much. Willow didn't talk that much. Oh, what does it mean?
See, I thought that it was nice that the reunion ended up not being about the top people. It was about everybody yes. else because right. the finale was going to be about the top people. But I think it's the same stage as like, because they had like that workroom door, I thought, behind Rue in the reunion. So it very well could have been filmed the day after, you know, it could have been filmed before. They definitely would have done both filming when they had all the queens together. So,
right.
Okay, well, it's over. So I guess it's neither here nor there. It doesn't really matter. I'm just curious. Okay, all right. Now, is there anything else that you two want to say about season 14?
Oh, I did love Cornbread's look.
Oh, yeah. Iconic. Like
the beauty and the beast of it all. Just beautiful. Mm-hmm. This was a pretty solid season. Long. But pretty solid. I feel like there are quite a few queens that I'll be interested to see how they go forth into the world. I am very interested in how Willow handles her reign, because especially after seeing what Simone did with hers, I feel like, you know, for her to be sort of like, you know, another one of the wacky queens, I'll be interested to see, you know, because I feel like, I mean, with Sasha Velour, I mean, when she won, you know, because we know this over with Evie, because Evie, you know, it was really hard because quarantine. And so, and she's talked about that before, how she's kind of felt like she feels like she's like an underappreciated winner because she feels like she sort of just didn't get a chance to like get as much love as everybody else because of like what the world was going through at the time, which a little bit of that is like a little self-centered. I'm like, Evie, COVID.
But also that was at the end of your reign.
So, yeah. Like, yeah.
You had a solid 10 months.
yeah, exactly. But I mean, even with Sasha Velour, I mean, for not that she's like in the same camp as like a Willow or an Evie, she's still a bit more of like an avant-garde type of winner. I feel like she's certainly done a lot. She's become very accomplished, but a lot of that is sort of like separate from like what we would think of as like mainstream drag, I guess. Mm-hmm. And so I wonder if Willow is going to sort of like go that route, because she talks about wanting to use her art a lot. So I wonder, like, just how she's going to implement that. Is she going to sort of, like, stay within this realm a little bit? Is she going to, like, do her own thing, meld the two together? So I'm always interested to see how winners, what they do. I think it'll be interesting.
I think it'll also be interesting, too, because both in the case of Evie and Willow, you are talking about degenerative diseases. So they do, they are working against the clock in many capacities, too. So it'll be interesting to see, you know, what can Willow do in the next, you know, year or so during her reign, but also afterwards. That's why I'm really excited to see Evie come back for the winter season, because I know that this is going to mean a lot to her to have this opportunity to come back and show off. I remember her saying that one of the reasons why she was upset that she won was that she probably wouldn't ever come back. So I'm excited that she gets to.
Well, I think that is a perfect transition to talk about the last thing that we have to discuss today, and that is All Stars Season 7 It's back, baby. And we are in a month going to be kicking off the new All-Star season. And if you're living under a rock, it's all winners. We are going to have 8 contestants come back, all previous winners, whether of a regular or an All-Star season. So we have Evie, we have Jinx, Shay, Raja, Trinity, Jada, Monet, and the Vivian from UK season 1. So this is going to be a really interesting season. It's going to be on Paramount Plus. So keep an eye out for that. I believe that the episodes will be dropping at like midnight of the Friday. So you can check it out. The first week, May 20th, is going to release 2 episodes. So that will be the first 2 episodes of the season. There are some rumors in terms of how it's going to work, but I don't think anything has been officially announced yet. So I think we'll wait on talking about that. But oh, I'm excited.
There will be 12 episodes. So I'm just looking at the last episode will be July 29th. So this will be a little longer than we're used to getting for an All-Star season, which I'm kind of excited by. Normally we only get about 8, maybe 10 episodes. So the fact we're going to have 12, 2 of them dropping the first time will be really kind of cool. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, word on the street, I mean, if we're allowed to talk about this, word on the street is that the formula is a little different and that it is going to be point-based. So I'm really interested to see how they do that because on one hand, like, great, we get to see all the queens the entire time. Wonderful. We get to see their all of their art. That'll be great. On the other hand, well, doesn't that make it all the more predictable if, like, we can clearly see who's winning the entire time? So I'm like, I just wonder how they're going to do that. And because I'm scared because I'm like, to avoid making it too predictable, are people just going, you know what? No, I'm not going to put any negative energy out there right now. I'm excited. I do wish that there were more winners there. I feel like the cast is small.
And then there's rumors that certain queens weren't asked.
Which is like, how was Bob not asked?
I don't know.
Sorry.
I know. I was
especially with Monet there.
I was
exactly. Yeah, but Trinity's there.
I got into this argument with a couple of friends of mine and they were like, I don't know why you're so surprised because Bob always talks about how he would never come back. I'm like, yes, but you still.
Bob talks about wanting to come back. Just wanted a bigger prize.
Right. Like, and it is a bigger prize. I don't know if it's enough for Bob who's making HBO Max money now, but like, I don't know. I just feel like you still ask. Like, even if you know that Bianca's probably going to say no, you still ask Bianca because it's not just All-Stars. It's all winners. It's a season that the fans have been wanting for so long. So the fact something just feels a little weird to me. I'm like, there's something else going on with Bob because I'm just like, how? It doesn't make any sense. And the answer just strictly can't be, oh, it's because Bob would have said no. Like, that doesn't make sense at all.
They've asked Adore Delano how many times to come back from All-Stars after All-Stars 2. And now Adore's at a place where apparently she would come back. So I'm just saying, like, they asked Shea Coulee how many times, right? They'll say no, but you put the ask out anyway. I really feel like they got a good mix of different kinds of winners here. There's winners from different kinds of camps and styles, like
eras of the show
and eras.
And it's going to be interesting. Like, they didn't ask Violet apparently, but there's a part of me that kind of wonders, are they waiting to ask people because they anticipate doing, now we're going to move away from only doing All-Stars. Now we're going to do 3 series in this 1 year where it's going to be an All-Stars, but then we're going to have another all winners season, but we're going to include more international All-Star winners. Like, I don't know. Like,
With this franchise,
it could always turn into we've decided that we're going to have a never ending cycle of US based shows purely to make sure Amon, Beth and Liana never have a break. Like, I'm
okay. And I would be much more. I will accept that a lot more because I saw a lot of people saying, oh, they're holding them off for like another type of season. And I'm like, but why? But that would make sense if they are trying to do another all winner season. If you just want to hold off on like Violet's and Sasha's and Bob's, because then you can get you have the chance to get more winners from Canada, get more winners from the UK. So that would make sense to me. I would still feel like those are such big ass names that aren't coming back for the first time around that I'm like,
I have a feeling that what they're gonna do is instead of UK versus the world being only like queens from who didn't win already, making it like an international All-Stars. I feel like that was set up. I think that there is going to be a season two like it was already. But I could see them turning that into like, okay, we're going to make it an international winners kind of thing. Now, I don't think that they would have the UK host that, because then that means that the winners can't get money. So I don't know. But I don't know. I feel like they're playing with formats in order to figure out something there. I could be very off base. I don't know.
I think they're probably just flying by the seat of their pants. I don't think they really know what they're doing. They know that they want to create more Drag Race. Mm-hmm. And these are ways to do it. And they're asking people. And maybe aren't super well planned. I don't know. As someone who's like worked in organizations, I have a feeling like it's not super. Nothing is ever super strategic. Like you like to think it is, but it's just not.
I mean, on one hand, it very much well could be that. And I'm sort of glad that they decided to do something a little different with this All-Stars, because, I mean, as we know, it's getting really stale. Like, we all love Drag Race and we're going to continue to watch it. But the big ass blaring elephant in the room is that, like, some of these girls are not All-Stars, whatever you consider them to be. You're bringing back people for the third time and watching them lose again for the third time. Shout out Jujubee. and it's just like, come on. So I'm glad that this is a true All-Star season, because it's all winners as opposed to just, you know, another batch of second chance girls. So that I do like. So, you know, it should be fun as long as they all bring it. And I feel like this particular batch of queens will bring it because they're winners and they have something to prove. And it's, you know, if it's point based and we get to see all of their looks throughout the entire thing, like, it should be pretty cutthroat. As long as it's cutthroat, then, you know, ultimately, I don't give a damn.
And I think that once you look at the cast again, if you had both Violet and Raja, for example, both of these fashion queens who have very different aesthetics and all that kind of stuff. But when you really look at who they've got, it's a pretty diverse cast in terms of strengths of why they won. Like, Monet and Trinity won the same season. They have very different skill sets, right? So I just think it's going to be really interesting. I also love that we don't have a lot of white winners. I'm sorry to say it like that, but I really
well,
like...
Well, it's on Paramount Plus, so they had to follow the guidelines of having that 50%.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, but it's one of those things where for so long, if you thought about the All-Stars Hall of Fame, for example, it was like white. It wasn't representative of like the winners as a whole. So I just like that we're getting a better sample size of like what the winners look like. So I don't know. I mean, we have a lot of queens who never will come back, so that's fine. And I don't think they would have brought back BB. BB already competed on an All-Stars. They're definitely not bringing back Tyra or Sharon. So,
no. Sharon Needles was at the bar that I was at.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
In drag?
Yeah. No.
Okay, that makes
and
sense.
It was so. Because I was like, why does she look so familiar?
Like, I know
she was
her
in there with them big ass glasses. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why does she look so familiar? And then everything ended. And then we went up to, because the bar that was at has three floors, and we went all the way up to the terrace, the rooftop. And we were just, you know, continuously, you're just having fun, and you're just talking or whatever. And then she came up, and one of the girls that I was with, she was like, oh my God, that's Sharon Needles. I was like, oh, that's why. Over, and I won't share what she said on the podcast, because I don't know if that's instantly appropriate. But but yeah, it was, yeah, Sharon Needles. Yeah.
Oh, so yeah, cool.
Really not on All-Star 7.
No.
We'll never be brought back.
So that does it for us. Wrapped up everything from season 14. The future is bright with All-Star season 7 on Paramount Plus. We will be covering that, so look out for our coverage. In terms of when those episodes will be dropping, it is the beginning of the summer. Things are opening up with COVID. And so between all of us, like, I have a conference that I'm going to, Beth's got a wedding. So there's kind of a lot of things out there. So we will do our best to get those episodes out to you. We're going to be recording on some Fridays, but the episodes might be delayed a little bit depending. So just wanted to give a fair warning, but we will be putting out episodes weekly with some combination of the three of us. Okay. We are done. That is it. So, Aman, anything else you want to say? Where can people find you on social media? What do you have going on?
You can follow me everywhere at Aman Adwin. I'm kind of closing down shop for a little bit. I mean, we'll be back, of course, in the next month or so for
for All-Star 7, but, you know, Big Brother Canada is wrapping up in the next couple of weeks, so you can see me closing out over there as well. And that'll be it for now.
All right, and Beth, what about you?
You can find me at AugustaWin11 on all my social media channels. I'm still on my weekly meltdown, breaking down Survivor every week. And you can also check me out on Hot Mess Moments with Dylan Zainer. We are changing our format. We have decided that we can no longer wait. We really just want to finish each other's shows, but also we have a lot going on and we cannot no longer dedicate 7 to 8 hours a week of just doing that. So we're just going to be even bigger hot messes, or just going to be the two of us chatting each week. So if you are in the mood to listen to two really dumb people talk for a little while, check us out on Hot Mess Moments, coming back in June.
All right. And you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP, podcasting about The Masked Singer with Puya. We kicked off the final group, so we're going to be going strong with that for a few more weeks. Survivor also going strong. We're going to be talking with Chappelle this week, which is going to be really fun. Mike Bloom and I for the B&B, of course. And that does it for everything that I'm up to. So if you want to leave star ratings and reviews for us on iTunes, maybe hold off until we start All-Stars, actually, because it's more beneficial at the beginning of the season. But if you do want to do that, you can go to robhaswebsite.com/dragrace. And there's one more podcast. I know we're not going to be in your ears, but don't worry. There's another podcast that you can listen to, especially if you like mess, which we obviously are messes. Kirsten and Sasha are going to be kicking off Mess Magnets. Each week, they're going to be breaking down the hottest gossip, hot goss, and spilling all of the tea, which I think the Drag Race listeners are definitely familiar with. So if you want to hear about big celebrity news, anonymous listener submitted gossip, definitely subscribe to the podcast. You can subscribe at robhasawebsite.com/mess. feed, and you can also submit any mess that you want to Kirsten and Sasha, whether it be celeb gossip or any of that anonymous personal mess. Definitely check that out. It's a new show on reality TV wrap-ups. Thank you to Scott St. Pierre for all your help behind the scenes, and we'll talk to y'all soon in a month. Bye.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com, and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.